Morning, this is Mark Collins here on Wave 105. My guests this morning, Kelly Jones and Richard Jones of the Stereophonics. Now, with the exception of 2011, the band has released an album every 2 years.
Yes.
This is a bit like a hibernating bear. Like, you become adjusted to the process, album making of every 2 years. You're like, hibernate, wake up, eat, have baby bear cub, go back, hibernate. And then it just goes round and round, doesn't it?
It is, really. I mean, an album tour cycle normally lasts about 13 or 15 months, and when we come back, we've normally got a bunch of songs, we record them, and then we say, well, let's go out again. And I guess it starts off on your first few records, you're afraid if you take too much time off, you know, that it's going to, you know, disappear and stuff, so you build up this work ethic, and it's kind of always stuck with us, really. It just naturally folds around in that cycle.
So why was there a gap in 2011?
2011, we changed record labels, and we bought a space to make into a studio, and that was when we started writing Graffiti on the Train, which we took a bit more time over because it was kind of being connected to a film at the time, so we were trying to do a bigger project, which didn't come into complete fruition, but the record was, you know, really well done, and that was the main reason for that, really.
A bit like James Bond films.
They're all, like James
they're
Bond
all
films,
odd-numbered years, James Bond films.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so right. A bit like your Stereophonics albums and James Bond films.
I don't mind that comparison. That's all right, don't I?
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. Daniel Craig's got the job again, though, hasn't he? He's still in, isn't he?
But I like Daniel Craig.
I like Daniel Craig. Yeah,
I think he's a great Bond. In fact, he's probably my favourite Bond.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's cool.
I'm not in any hurry to get rid of Daniel Craig.
No, but I think he said he'll do another one, and then that's probably it.
Yeah, he's seen the check.
And then, like Doctor Who, we'll have a female James Bond.
Jane Bond,
that'll be it.
Yeah.
And why not?
Well, I know, yeah.
Why not?
I think Idris Elba would make quite a good James Bond as well.
Yeah, he's not a female, though.
Idris Elba?
Yeah. No, all right, then. No,
he's not a woman. He's all right, then.
Hey, you learn something new every day. Now, you've always come up with great titles for your albums. Is this a collective decision, or is it a case of taking the title from a line of a song? Because no album actually takes its title from a featured song, does it?
Apart from Graffiti on the Train, which is the only time we did that, and that is the only album title that we had before the project. You know, I had this idea for Graffiti on the Train, and the record grew from the title out, which it doesn't normally do. But like you say, a lot of the song titles, or there's a line in the song, word gets around, there's a line, perform some cocktails, I think there's a line, just enough education. So, yeah, Screaming Above the Sounds, there's a lyric in All in One Night as well, but they tend to make sense to the rest of the record as well, so it's kind of coincidental a lot of the time. But they are the hardest thing to kind of come up with, and usually the last thing to come up with, you know?
I was going to say, it must be quite difficult. Is it a collective, or Kelly, do you decide what the album name's going to be?
Well, it starts coming from the lyric content mainly. If the lyric has some sort of thread or feeling, then you try to find something that kind of connects the dots, really. So when people hear the title, they have some sort of imagery in their head about what you're trying to say at that point. So
we usually put a whiteboard up, don't we, in the studio with all the song titles, and they change every now and again. And then usually, you know, like when you ticked all the song titles to make sure they're all done, then the album title suddenly kind of appears then.
Mm. And Jim Lowe makes the records with us.
Yeah.
You know, he just said one day when we were trying to re-record one song, you know, well, you know, you got to go there to come back, and that kind of made sense to the content on that record. So they come about by accident, really.
And Scream Above the Sounds is a line from one of the songs.
Scream Above the Sounds is a lyric in All in One Night, but it kind of reflects on a lot of the record, you know, particularly songs like Caught by the Wind, which was written, I guess, in the aftermath of the Bataclan and stuff like that, and it talks about, you know, celebrating the good things in life as well as, you know, trying to hide from the kind of wolves in the woods kind of vibe. And there's a lot of intrusion in your life, you know, everybody's always on their phones, and every time you look at the phone, there's bad news coming through. So I guess it's about kind of screaming above all that noise and realising there's a lot of good stuff as well, you know.
Because many of the fans have actually heard the album already. You went to selected local pubs, especially around South Wales.
Yeah.
Whose idea was that? It was sponsored by Brains, I see, as well.
Yeah. It was quite funny. I got off the tube the other day, and this woman came up to me, and she said, "You're playing in North End Road tonight?" And my husband goes, "Well, he can't be, because that means he must be playing in about 16 pubs at the same time." So we did a beer with Brains. It was quite a good laugh. We took our, you know, our fathers and stuff down to Brains Brewery, and tasted different hops and stuff, and they did like one of those spring launch beer things. And so it came up to pass that it would be a good idea to play the record in pubs which supply this beer.
Yes.
And drink us and listen to us all at the same time.
Good idea.
Yeah. Now you see, you know, you're taking me to the pub there now.
Yeah, well, you will go to the pub tonight, or you will have a beer whilst watching the football tonight. You know that, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think the more and more...
It's getting talked about more.
It's getting talked about more and more.
Yeah, and it's going to be in the back of your mind, and then you're going to get home and say, "Hi, darling, I'm home." And he said, "Hi, how was your interview?" We spoke to some bloke. He said, "I've got to have a beer." So I said,
"I better go. I better go, yeah.
Which part of the album making process do you enjoy the most? Because there's the writing, then there's the recording, then there's promoting as you're doing now, and then you've got the touring at the end. Which is the best part, do you reckon? Touring.
I like the problem solving part of making the record and discovering the music. You know, like finding old ideas on tape recorders and phones and stuff like that, and then making the records. I don't really enjoy mixing the albums and finalising them because then it becomes very analytical and you forget what you're doing in the first place. So. The touring is probably the most fun because you get a chance to, you know, go through 10 albums worth of material and alternate the set every night and pick and choose between the boys and, you know, learn songs you haven't played for a long time. And so that's the most enjoyable thing.
What about you, Richard?
I like the challenge in the studio of, you know, like trying to do something different with, you know, your instrument and, you know, like try and make it sound different or the way you play. So it's always sometimes it's a little bit, you know, like... It's a bit awkward sometimes, but what you're trying to do is do the best thing for the song, and that's, you know, like the end outcome is always, you know, like the satisfactory thing. Then,
well, hopefully this is the least favourite. Well, not hopefully this is the least. I guess this, hang on a minute. No, let me rephrase that. This is probably the least favourite. The promoting, where you've got to sit down, you've got to answer the same questions day in, day out from magazines, radio stations, TV.
It's weirdly. Slightly therapeutic, I guess, in a way, because you haven't got no idea what your record's about until you start talking, because you never say it out loud, really. You know, you listen to the record a few times, you know, after you've made it, and then you kind of don't often ever listen to it ever again. It's a bit strange in that sense, but so talking about it kind of makes you have an understanding of what it is, and then it gives you an easier way of putting it out there to the people and stuff like that. So it's a weird job, don't get me wrong. Travelling around the world talking about
yourself.
Songs, talking about yourself and songs, because to actually explain why you wrote a song is quite weird, because one minute there's nothing in the room and then this song appears and you're like, well, where did that come from? You know,
it's better than being a market stall seller and a scaffolder, isn't it?
It does, because a Monday morning there now, my legs would be aching and there'd be nobody coming in, they'd be dead. You know what I mean?
Brilliant.
They'd make me start taking the ends off Swedes just to keep me busy.
Yeah, exactly. That's the worst job in the world, isn't it?
Cleaning up the flash, as they say.
Counting stuff. Yeah.
The new album, Scream Above the Sounds, is out on the 27th of October, and the Stereophonics play live at the Brighton Centre on the 27th of February next year, and at the BIC in Bournemouth on the 5th of March. The new single is Caught by the Winch, which I'll play for you now. Kelly, Richard, been a pleasure. Thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thanks for having us. Thank you very much.